Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite day of the week, my favorite hour of the day. Happy holidays. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. The idea of the show, if you're new to the show, to repeat it if you're a regular, is to make complicated things simple for you. There are critical facets of health that I find people fudge over all the time because they think it's too complicated to understand. And it doesn't escape you. You're never going to stop hearing about certain things, but you're never going to really understand them. And this creates a lot of unnecessary headaches down the line. One of the best examples of this are fats. If I say fat, if I say cholesterol, if I say fatty acid, if I say phosphoglycerate, if I say ketones, if I say ketogenesis, if I say HDL, LDL, LDL, HDL, IDL, VLDL, chylomicron, if I start throwing all these fat terms at you, well, you understand what I mean. You kind of get it, but you really don't know how to put it together. And on issues as important as this, that should not be happening. So welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I am the teacher you didn't have in high school that you wish you had, or college that you wish you had, because I can make the complicated stuff a lot more simpler and practical for you to understand. And as you all know, this is my rant, because instead of doing this, we're all looking for the quick fixes. Yeah, I know something about fats. Give me that capsule. Don't do that. Understand. Out of the understanding really is the foundation for your health. So put your thinking caps on as always. Of course, you can come to the website later and listen to the show again. It doesn't cost you anything. Let's get it going. All right. I'm going to say the word fats to you. Fats. Now, first myth buster, right? I like to bust myths. The first myth is fats are bad. Big myth. The American Medical Association, along with just about everybody else, purported this myth, and about 10 years ago, it started to fade away. It's not fats that are bad. It's things that happen to fats that are bad. And yet, you all know, this year you're going to get a physical, and the first thing the doctor's going to harp on are your fats. Your triglycerides are too high, your LDLs are too high, and your cholesterol is too high. So you're going to start hearing it right away about fats, and yet I'm here to tell you, as many, that the myth is fats are bad. So first let's understand fats. We got to clarify the myth, but that's one of the myths. All right. Fat means a lot of things. Technically, fat means essential fatty acid, or fatty acid, I should say. A fatty acid, and get to the website, please, straighttalk.cc, show number 342, so you can see the picture. Because talking about it without a picture is much more difficult for you. Not for me, for you. Picture number 9 are pictures of fatty acids. A fatty acid is just a chain of carbon molecules with a carboxylic acid at the end of it. Big words for, everyone knows carbon. Somewhere along the line, you heard about the carbon atom, that it's central to all biological life form. The carbon atom, a string of carbon atoms, and at the end of the string is a carbon atom double bonded to an oxygen, single bonded to an oxygen and a hydrogen, which is a carboxylic acid. If you look at the picture, it's simple. But a fatty acid, I want you to understand, when you say fat, I want you to think fatty acid. And all that is a string of carbons with that thing I call the carboxylic acid at the end of it. That's simple enough. If you're looking at the website, it's so easy to get this straight. That's a fatty acid. Most fatty acids you can make in your own body. The body can take carbon, it can take hydrogen, it can take oxygen. It's all hanging around now. It can take these atoms and make your own fatty acids. Most fatty acids you make. How's that? Some of them are what we call essential fatty acids. That means we can't make them. We have to get them from the food. I'm not even going to get into what fatty acids are essential so I can get them from my food. Forget it. You hear the word fat, you think a chain of carbons, carbon double bonded to an oxygen, carbon single bonded to an OH, a carboxylic acid it's called. That's all you think about. You get, that's it. If you can hold on to that, you can understand the whole show. When someone says fats, just think about a chain of carbon atoms, 14 carbon atoms, 16 carbon atoms, 18 carbon atoms, with that carboxylic acid thing that you don't understand, hung on at the end. That's all you think about. Now, some of those fatty acids you have to get from food. Not a lot, but some you got to get. The rest you make. Done. Now I'm going to lay down another term. If you put three fatty acids together, if you put together three fatty acids and you tie them together with a molecule that ties all three together, it's called a glycerol molecule, but forget that. If you take three separate chains of fatty acids, just like I just described them, and you tie all three of them together with a backboard or string, you make a tri, as in three, glyceride. If you take three fatty acids, tie them together, you have a triglyceride. So when you go to the doctor and they give you your triglyceride count, that just means floating around in your body are a lot of three fatty acid compounds tied together at the beginning of them. That's called a triglyceride. So what's the difference between a fatty acid and a triglyceride? Nothing. A fatty acid's the single building block, and a triglyceride's three of them put together. Big deal. You understand almost everything now. All right, so hold that. There are molecules called triglycerides that are running around your body. Your fat, the blubber on your belly, the blubber on your legs, the blubber on your buttocks, the fat you don't want. If you go in there and you siphon, you know, the liposuction people, isn't that a wonderful testimony to modern day man? Liposuction. Don't get it. It scars you up bad. But liposuction, when they suck out all that fat, they're sucking out triglycerides. Your blubber is a triglyceride. It's a bunch of triglycerides. And you're born with fat cells. Fat cells. You know, like brain cells and liver cells and kidney cells. There's another organ in the body called fat. It's the fat organ. You know, it's so different when you really understand it than the way the public gets it. It's why I do a show like this. It just amazes me, once you get the science down, how amazing, simple, fascinating all of this is. But you got to cut through all the hogwash, and you got to cut through all the baloney. All these people making themselves more important than they are, using terms they don't have to use, putting them together in more complicated ways. I mean, why do you think lawyers talk the way lawyers talk? Do you really think lawyers talk the way lawyers talk because it's so complicated? No, that's the way they protect themselves from the public. They have to distinguish themselves from you and them. And if that distinction is not made, well, then maybe you might take the law into your own hands. Don't think it doesn't work this way. I mean, not 100% this way, but largely things are way too verbose. way too complicated. Fatty acid chain of carbon molecules. Triglyceride, three fatty acids stuck together. Real life example of triglyceride. Your fat is a triglyceride. But I was saying that your fat, this is interesting, your fat, what you call your fat, is a fat cell. You know, everyone's born with a different number of fat cells. And when you get fat, it's not that you're making more fat cells. That is a myth. When you're skinny, I'm going to just make this number up. When you're skinny, you have 100 fat cells. Obviously not, but let's just say that. When you're skinny, you have 100 fat cells. When you're fat, you still have 100 fat cells. Here's the punchline. All those fat cells, though, when you're fat, are stuffed with triglycerides. The fat cells are stuffed a million times bigger than they really are with triglycerides. Interesting side note. All right, you're graduated to high school now. You're in high school. That's grammar school. You got it. Fatty acids, triglycerides, great example of what I'm talking about on your own blubber. Perfect. Now, here's another one. Why does the body need triglycerides? Because the body breaks them down to fatty acids, and you live off it. Anybody in the audience right now, over 30% body fat, which a lot of people are, you can live off that fat for a year. That's an AMA quote. I mean, that's a standard medical statistic. If you're really packing it on over 30%, you can live off that fat. We're all living off our fat. We're always burning our fat for energy. We like to burn glucose for energy, but we're really burning fat in the form of ketones for energy. Fats break down to ketones in the liver, and then the ketones are sent to the cells on energy. You know, like if you fast, no one's thinking about fasting now. Right? Well, actually, the bears are. The bears are fasting. That's a great example. The bears are living off their fat now, right? You guys out there listening to the show in the Ponderosa in the wilderness? Yeah, you got to keep your eyes open. But by and large, the hibernating bears now are living off their fat. What are they doing? They're burning their fat for energy. You and I do this all the time. So you need fat. If you're purely running your body on glucose, you're in trouble. Do you know that your liver, Mr. Liver, Mr. 1500 functions, Mr. Liver that we still don't understand, Mr. Liver that we'll be studying well into the next century, Mr. Liver burns fatty acids for energy, not glucose. Your liver runs on fat. Do you know that your muscles at resting, when your muscles are resting, meaning when you're sitting here doing a radio show, when you're studying, when you're hanging out with your friends, when you're not doing anything heavily vigorous, your muscles use fat for energy. They don't use glucose. They use fat. So your body burns fatty acids, right? Carbon string with the carboxylic acid at the end. Your body burns fatty acids. It oxidizes fatty acids in the Krebs cycle and blah, blah, blah for energy. So you need fat. But essential fatty acids, or fatty acids, I should say, some of which are essential. I didn't number them or name them. I'm not getting into it. But the fatty acids have a second function. Not for energy, for structure. All your cell membranes are made of fatty acids. That's a big, big responsibility. Every single gazumpteen, illion, billion, trillion cell in your body has a skin. It's called a membrane, the cell membrane. The cell membrane's all fat. You take the fat out of the cell membranes of your neurons up in your brain as an example, you're toast. You're brain dead. So fatty acids have two roles. One, we burn them for energy. And two, we build things with them. Synthesis. Synthesis and catabolism. Catabolism or breakdown. We break the fatty acid down for energy. Synthesis. We put the fatty acids together. And we make cell membranes. We make all sorts of things that are critical. All right, you're almost out of high school now. You've got it. String of carbons, triglycerides are three in a bundle. We store them as fat all day long. We're breaking them down to fatty acids, and we're burning them for energy, or we're making stuff out of them. Perfect. If you got that, you got a lot. If you're looking at the pictures, if you're on straighttalk.cc, if you're listening to the radio and you're driving, get to the website later, straighttalk.cc, two T's.cc, look at the pictures. All right, perfect. Now, these fatty acids, some of them are good fatty acids. That means we need them. Because if we don't get them, we don't transmit electrical impulse with any kind of integrity. We don't make strong membranes. Some fats are better than other fats. Some fatty acids are better than other fatty acids. So we're going from fatty acids are all the same. No, they're not. Some of them are better than others. And when you look at the whole chain of carbon atoms in a fatty acid, we number the carbon atoms. One carbon atom, number two, number three. It's the way chemists notate. It's the way they communicate. Look at the fourth carbon atom four. Look at the fifth carbon atom five. If in a chain of carbon atoms, in a fatty acid, right? Chain of carbon atoms. If the number six carbon atom to the number seven carbon atom has a double bond, mean if they're extra connected to each other, we call that an omega-6. An omega-6 fatty acid is a fatty acid that's got a double bond between the carbon-6 and the carbon-7 atom. For those of you technocrats, that's measured from the end of the carbon chain, not the carboxylic acid. But the rest of you, don't even bother with that statement. In omega-6, the bad fat, and we kind of qualify that statement. In omega-6, fatty acid is simply a fatty acid that's got a double bond between carbon-6 and carbon-7, counting the carbons from the tail end of the carbon molecule, of the fatty acid chain. In omega-3, right? You hear about your omega-3s? An omega-3 fatty acid is a fatty acid that's got a double bond between your third and fourth carbon. And there are other places too, but we'll just make it simple. So of the fatty acids, most of them your body can make. There's fatty acids that are not so good, and those are the omega-6s. Carbon atom, double bond between carbon 6 and 7. And then we've got the good fatty acids, the omega-3s, double bond between carbon atom 3 and 4. Done. You're out of high school. You know what omega-3s are. You know what omega-6s are. You know what a fatty acid is. You know what a triglyceride is. You understand really how triglycerides function in the body. You know what fatty acids are used for. Now, here's a good one. A healthy body has a ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s. And that ratio should mean about a 1-to-1. For every omega-3 fatty acid, you can have one omega-6. You can deal with less than optimal, which is 4-to-1, 4 omega-6 to 1 omega-3. So ideally, it's 1-to-1. Yeah, you can use the omega-6s. I'll tell you why they're bad. And you can go up to 4 omega-6s to 1 omega-3. After that, you're in trouble. Typically, the American diet is omega-6 to omega-3, 30-to-1. 30-to-1 because of the garbage oils. You know, the corn oil, the soy oil, all these garbage oils that we use, canola, the whole slew of these things. Olive oil, ratioed out, is a garbage oil. Yes, olive oil. I didn't say olives. I didn't say olive pate. But olive oil is too high in omega-6. People sit there and they tell you about this olive oil and they look at you proudly because they're patting themselves on the back because they're so healthy and they're not getting diseased. Olive oil is not a good oil. It's an okay oil at best. We know the omega-6s promote inflammatory reactions in the body. It is not an optimal oil. The problem with omega-6s is it produces all sorts of immune system reactions. And I'm not going to get into why. I'm just going to leave you with an understanding. You got to make sure you're high omega-3 and much lower on the omega-6s. Guess what? All your omega-6s are vegetable oils. Vegetable oils. Butter, cream, all these other types of animal fats are not the omega-6s. They're just a big, fat bunch of triglycerides, which are composed of a bunch of fatty acids, none of which are your omega-6s. I'm going to handle those heavy, saturated fats in a minute. But right now, I just want to point out that a fatty acid is a string of carbon atoms, and depending upon where the double bond is, you either have an omega-3 or an omega-6. Omega-6s are garbage, and they're mostly your vegetable oils. Relax behind your coconut oil fantasy, so hang on to that for a second, all right? So what you're really left with then is an understanding that if you really want to climb to the top of the food chain and talk about healthy fats, you're talking about your omega-3s. Docosahexaenoic acid, your DHA. Eicosapentaenoic acid, your EPA. These are your fish oils, or what your fish oils break down to. Flax oil is another omega-3. The omega-3s in certain types of nuts, like walnuts. And anytime people are telling you eat these walnuts, they're high in omega-3s, or get the whole egg from a fertile, organic, insect-fed chicken coop, those are high in your omega-3s. Meats, red meat, good old red meat, bison, high in omega-3s. As opposed to suck down a case of olive oil on your salad, which is too omega-6 rich. Worse yet, how's this one? Worse yet, stay off butter, stay off cream, stay off eggs. Don't do any of those fatty foods. And then just throw some good old corn oil, some good old soybean oil, some good old unnamed mix of oils, your omega-6 oils disguised under cool names like canola. When you have double bonds in the wrong places in that fatty acid carbon chain, when you have double bonds in the wrong places, thus omega-6, you're usually dealing with a vegetable oil. I think always dealing with a vegetable oil. They're garbage. Do not eat vegetable oils. I'll qualify that statement later. If you have a chain of carbon atoms in a fatty acid and there are no double bonds, if you have a fatty acid, they all have different names, but we can forget the different names. If you have a chain of fatty acids with no double bonds, it's not an omega-3, it's not an omega-6, there are just no double bonds. That's called a saturated fat. Okay, I want you to get that because now I'm using another term that you've heard. You may drive a truck for a living. You may be an accountant. You may be a lawyer. You may be a mom busy with three. Everyone's heard about the saturated fats. That's just a fatty acid, that same chain of carbon atoms. It doesn't have a double bond between 3 and 4. It doesn't have a double bond between 6 and 7. It has no double bonds. It's all a single bonded chain of carbon atoms. That's called a saturated fat. When you talk butter, when you talk eggs, when you talk cream, when you talk dairy generally, you're talking about saturated fats. We take those chains of carbon atoms with no double bonds, we stick three of them together, and we make a triglyceride out of them. What's a triglyceride? It's a chain of saturated fatty acids all tied together. Now I'm clarifying what I said earlier. When I said a triglyceride earlier was a chain of fatty acids, was three fatty acids, I meant it. But now I'm saying it's three fatty acids and they're all saturated, meaning there's no double bonds. That's a triglyceride. Guess what? We know this. It's the reality. You're better off getting your fatty acids from butter and cream and the rest of it as far as the fat quality than you are from getting your fats from unsaturated vegetable oils. Take butter, not canola oil. Take a little bit of cream, not peanut oil. Don't do vegetable oils. They're very high in omega-6. The ratio omega-6 is too high. There's too much. If you had to make, you don't, but if you had to make a choice between polyunsaturated, meaning vegetable oils with double bonds, so they're not saturated. If a string has no double bonds, it's saturated. If it's got double bonds, it's unsaturated. Better you eat saturated fats. If you had to make a choice between cream and butter versus all the vegetable oils that are omega-6, pick the cream and butter. You're way ahead. Now, what's better than both those choices? What's better than both of those choices? The omega-3s. If you're living off fish oil, because you eat a lot of fish, right, fish is dirty, it's toxic, it's sewer stuff. Forget all that for now. This is so you have an understanding. If you don't have an understanding, you can't make your decisions. Do not skip the understanding, because then you're going to run around for the rest of your life like a chicken without a head. And you'll be manipulated, and you'll be scammed, and you'll waste money. And that's what most people in holistic health are being, scammed. I said holistic health. I don't even want to deal with Kaiser. So understand, at the top of the food chain, the best oils are your omega-3s. And you can get them from walnuts. You can get them from fish. You can get them from flax. So there. Saturated fats, unsaturated omega-6, unsaturated omega-3s. A hierarchy between the three of them. Debates about what to do because people don't understand anything that they're talking about because they don't take the time. Go find a show like this. Go find a show like this that's broadcast anywhere. You can't. I'm supposed to cut into this dialogue now and tell you to buy a supplement, or I'm supposed to sell you something, or I'm supposed to talk a lot faster because you got to talk fast on radio because people's attention spans are very, very quick. So you got to talk very fast. You got to interject it with a lot of music. You got to make it sound groovy. It's done. America's done if it continues this idiotic format. We have long gone past the line of substituting nonsense for quality. And we're all drowning in our lies. And that is the truth in every dimension of American business. Every American service is polluted with lies at this point. We have lied so much, so long, that nobody trusts anybody. And I'm going to tell you this till I'm not on the air anymore. And the reason I'm going to tell you this is because it's what's happening. We are close. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. The inside track, as best I can give it to you, on health and what health truly means. It just means you got to get educated. Okay, we're going to move to cholesterol. Cholesterol is not fat. Cholesterol is not a fatty acid. If you're on the website, look at picture six. Look at picture 15. I show you on picture 15 a molecule of cholesterol, just like picture 13 is a triglyceride, just like picture 9 is a fatty acid, just like picture 10 is a saturated versus an unsaturated fatty acid. Pictures, pictures, pictures. Most of you listen to this show without pictures. Please get a computer. You can do it. I did it. 7 years ago, I don't think I even, no, it was, I would say 10 years ago, I barely understood how to use a computer. Then I decided to create my own radio station. Then I decided to do a lot of high-tech things. I had to learn to use a computer. I don't care if you're 98 years old, learn to use a computer. It'll open the world for you. If you can, listen to this show on a computer. I would say for every person that listens to this show on the computer and looks at the pictures, there are 15 that don't. They listen on the radio. Okay, fine, if that's your only choice. But you can't see the pictures then. Picture number 15 is a molecule of cholesterol. That's big. Cholesterol is not fat. Cholesterol is not fat. It's not a fatty acid. It doesn't look like a fatty acid. It doesn't do what a fatty acid does. We don't burn it for energy. We don't catabolize cholesterol. Cholesterol is a molecule that the liver makes. The liver, Mr. Liver, makes 80% of your circulating of your cholesterol. What you get from food is 20% of your cholesterol. So even if you ate a zero cholesterol, you just ate radishes. Some of you do. You just eat greens for your meals. Your body would still make cholesterol. Trust me, the liver makes cholesterol. It's not a fatty acid. They have nothing to do with each other. Well, for openers, they have nothing to do with each other. Cholesterol is a basis for your steroids. There are umpteen functions of cholesterol. All your hormones begin as cholesterol. When we say epinephrine, when we say adrenaline, when we say cortisol, when we say estrogen, progesterone, pregnenolone, estradiol, estrone, estriol, When we say cortisol, they all begin as cholesterol. The myelin sheath of the nerves, the insulated, the fat covering of the nerves is a lot of cholesterol. Your bile acids have a ton of cholesterol. Cholesterol also composes a lot of the cell membranes. Then there's all sorts of weird molecules that the cholesterol is based in, like glycosides in the heart. The heart has a fatty-like compound. I said fatty-like compound called a glycoside. Cholesterol's part of that. Absolutely critical for nerve transmission because of the myelin sheath is cholesterol. But cholesterol is not a fatty acid. Now, let me give you the knockout punch. What the liver does, the liver, Mr. Liver, where all your digested food goes. You eat the food, you chew it. Your HCL, your pancreatic enzyme, your bile break the food down. It gets absorbed through the small intestine, through the cells of the small intestine. It gets chucked up through the portal vein into your liver. In the liver, all the fats you eat, all the cholesterol you eat, all the cholesterol the liver makes, the whole thing goes down in the liver. Everything you eat ends up in the liver, 95% of it, straight to the liver. Doesn't go from your small intestine into your cells. It goes from the small intestine into the liver. The waste goes to the large intestine and out the body. All that fat you eat and all the fat the liver makes is all hanging out in the liver. Now, this is what the liver does. The liver makes. Say it a third time. The liver makes your LDL molecule. LDL. A bell should be going off in your head. LDL. The liver makes your LDL molecule. The liver makes your VLDL molecule. The liver makes your IDL molecule. The liver makes your HDL molecule. Notice I said LDL, HDL, VLDL, IDL. They're all collectively called lipoproteins. The liver takes the cholesterol that it makes and that you eat. The liver takes the fatty acids that you eat. The liver takes a whole bunch of stuff and makes four different types of snowballs. If you're on the website, you see what I mean. If you're looking at picture number 16, the liver makes your VLDLs, your IDLs, your LDLs, and your HDLs. Collectively, these four different snowballs, each of which is composed of the same molecules in different ratios. They're all composed of cholesterol. They're all composed of fatty acids. They're all composed of apoproteins. They're just composed of different ratios of them. Those four snowballs are called lipoproteins. VLDL, IDL, LDL, and HDL. The liver sends those lipoproteins out into the blood. You eat it, liver packs it, four different types of snowballs, chucks it out into the blood. Now the VLDL, the IDL, the LDL, the HDL are circulating in the blood where they belong. Why do you need them circulating in the blood? Number one, what are the lipoproteins made of? They're made of cholesterol. You need that cholesterol. Didn't I just say you need cholesterol? Don't you know that you need cholesterol? Aren't you going to tell your friends at Christmas dinner, this cholesterol that I'm eating in this egg, I need it to make my brain function? You will be correct. So the reality is that These lipoproteins, VLDL, IDL, LDL, HDL, are made of sucked up fat from the intestine and sucked up cholesterol from the intestine and cholesterol that the liver makes. And the liver punches them out as snowballs, VLDL, IDL, LDL, la, la, la. And then throws them into the blood. Why do you need them in your blood? Because they're carrying critical components of energy. They're carrying fatty acids. They're carrying in that snowball are fatty acids packed together. That's for energy. If your brain, or I say your heart, or your muscles are running out of fats to burn, those lipoprotein snowballs are there to deliver them more fat. If your brain needs fatty acids to build its molecules, its membranes, those lipoproteins are on the way. You've got to have these things. Now, the punchline. The punchline is the cholesterol in these snowballs, because I said they have cholesterol. They're called lipoproteins. And if you go to picture number 14, you can see a great picture of a lipoprotein. I don't know if it's an LDL or an HDL or an IDL or a VLDL. It doesn't matter. But like every lipoprotein, it's going to have a bunch of fatty acids stuffed together as a triglyceride. It's going to have one type of cholesterol called esterified. We don't need to get into that. It's going to have another type of cholesterol called free cholesterol or unesterified. And then it's going to have this big anaconda-like snake wrapped around the snowball, and that's your apoprotein. Those of you that get these cardiac panels with apoprotein B and apoprotein C and apoprotein E, they're trying to create some new link between the number of apoproteins and the types in your heart. It's a lot of baloney. It's almost a useless thing to get tested, but we have nothing to do in cardiac research. Instead of researching what's important, we just get money from the NIH for nonsense. So this big snowball, there's four types. And in this snowball is cholesterol. For reasons I'm not going to get into, if one of those snowballs is an LDL, a low density one, which means more fat, less protein, if the other one is a VLDL, which means way less protein and way more fat, you know, fat's light, protein's dense. The difference between an LDL and a VLDL is that an LDL, a low-density lipoprotein, has a certain amount of protein in it, in the snowball, and a certain amount of fat. But a VLDL has way more fat and way less protein. And an HDL has way less fat and way more protein. So more protein in a snowball, good. Less protein, bad. Which is a different way of saying is the more fat in a big snowball, the riskier a molecule it is for you. And I'll define that. So that's kind of an insight into why do they call these snowballs VLDL, IDL, LDL, and HDL. I have a chart on the website, if you can ever look at it. I have a chart on 19. And it talks about the density of an HDL versus an LDL, an IDL, and a VLDL, and another molecule called a chylomicron that I won't discuss now. And it'll show you the highest percentage of protein is the HDL, then the LDL, then the IDL. The real snugger is the VLDL. It's got very little protein, and it's got a ton of fat. Of fatty acids. Now, Here's a punchline to you. Why do they call LDL the bad cholesterol? And by the way, they ought to throw in VLDL as the bad cholesterol. And why do they say HDL, good cholesterol? Because when you're dealing with an LDL or a VLDL, it has a constitution and enough cholesterol in it to have the cholesterol oxidized or attacked or made sticky on the basis of its type of cholesterol and that there's so much cholesterol. I want to make sure you get this, because if you get this, now you're out of college into grad school. I talked about the four snowballs, different compositions of each, VLDL, IDL, HDL, LDL. And I'm saying that we call the LDL and the VLDL bad cholesterol. Why? And the IDL too, but no one measures that. Why? Because it's got a lot of fat, a lot of cholesterol. Remember, fat's not cholesterol, but they're packed together in this snowball. And cholesterol tends to be very reactive with the outside environment that the snowball is in the blood. It tends to oxidize. Oxidation of cholesterol is a process through which some angry little animal comes up to Mr. Cholesterol in the snowball and knocks its head off and binds to it. It oxidizes it. It creates an inflammatory response as a result. And it makes the cholesterol in the HDL, the IDL, the VLDL, the bad cholesterol, it makes that cholesterol very sticky. And if, and I mean if, big if there, capital I, capital F, if the inner lining of your artery is sticky because it's been oxidized, then the two oxidized surfaces are like Velcro. And you have the perfect storm. A sticky, oxidized, broken down, tethered up inner lining to your artery, meeting an oxidized, broken down, beaten up cholesterol molecule packing inside your LDL, IDL, or VLDL snowball. And the two stick to each other. This doesn't happen to the HDL molecule for a variety of reasons. One, the HDL has way less cholesterol and fatty acid and way more protein. That's one reason the HDL doesn't stick to those walls. Number two, the HDL, because of the way it's made, wants to bind. It wants to suck fat out of the LDL, which is like sucking fat out of your arterial wall where the LDL finally sticks. The HDL likes to suck fat to itself, and because it's so dense, it doesn't bind to the wall. It has the wall bind to it, and then it goes back to the liver, and the liver sees the fat that the HDL molecule took to it, and the liver eats it, and you lose plaque from the arterial wall. Okay, take a breather. Take a puff on your cigar. Take another sip of coffee. Whatever you're doing, relax now. You're in college. You're getting it now. I can feel you. You're starting to understand the concept here. Good fats, bad fats. LDL, IDL, VLDL is more prone to oxidation. And in combination with an oxidized or chewed up arterial wall, the two stick to each other. Why is the bad? It's not that it's bad cholesterol. It's not that it's a bad molecule. It's really that because in the IDL, VLDL, LDL molecule, you have more fat and you have, I think, more cholesterol, they're more likely to get sticky. And the HDL, because it's high protein, has much less target sites. And because it's so dense, its chemical mechanism pulls fat to it, and then it goes to the liver. So when you go to your doctor and your doctor starts mumbling to you about how your good cholesterol is too low and your bad cholesterol is too high, yes, he's correct. You have to lower your good cholesterol, lower your bad cholesterol, raise your good cholesterol, because statistically speaking, if you circulate less fat in your blood, you have less likelihood of it sticking to your arteries. But what your doctor's doing is completely overlooking this process of oxidation. It's not just the amount of LDL, etc. It's the amount of oxidation. Now, what oxidizes the cholesterol? Insulin and high blood sugar oxidizes the cholesterol. Cigarette smokers oxidize the cholesterol. There's a whole free radical process oxidizing the cholesterol that really, in the end, determines the danger. That is what they leave out. So I always tell you, measure oxidized cholesterol. All right, now that's a mouthful, so you got to get to the website. And you've got to check it out to understand. Now, fats. Generally, what we don't get enough of are the omega-3s. Because everything from hydrogenated fat to rancid fat to trans fats, once you heat a fat, heating a fat destroys the fat. I mean, fats do two things. One, they combine with oxygen molecules that make the fat a bad brick, that make it poor for synthesis, that make it not what you want to build your nerve sheaths out of. Fats oxidize. And fats also fall apart under high heat. Yes, and yes, coconut oil is a better fat. It deals with heat a little bit better. And you'll hear all sorts of things about this fat handles the heat so you can cook in that. What about my cooking fats? What can I saute in? Look, all that stuff is garbage, okay? In plain English. Don't kid yourself. Raw fat is the way to go. To the extent that you have and need fat. And that's a very variable topic. How much fat do you need? Guess what? We don't know. That's the truth. And it's a whole other show to figure it out in somebody. And it's complicated. And if you're smart, you'll stick to, well, I know I don't know how much I need, but I'm going to make sure that the quality of my fat is the highest quality. That means don't eat fats that are heated. Do not do that. Because it changes the fat. It makes it stickier. It makes it less viable for synthesis. And that's just the opener. If you're taking your omega-3s from a flax seed that you ground in your flax maker, and you're using that oil to consume, you are getting a high quality fat. If you are going and you are getting a fish like wild salmon, okay, I'll give it to you. And you're poaching it. God forbid you should have raw salmon like the Japanese. But if you have wild salmon and you just poach it, you retain nature's presentation of the omega-3s in the fat. If you're having a walnut and you don't roast it, if you have any nut, if rather than an olive oil, you take an olive, which is an omega-9, and you grind it up like a pate and you enjoy that olive that way, you're getting raw fat. If you take your egg and rather than microwaving it or nuking it in some other way, you simply poach the egg, or you take the egg sunny side up where that yolk is big and orange, hopefully, and unbridled, untainted, those are your raw fats. So rather than get hung up on what fats, other than your omega-6s, which are garbage, other than your hydrogenated fats, which are garbage fats, other than your trans fats, which are garbage, even your potato chip companies will tell you no trans fats, no hydrogenated oils. Woe to the 50s and 60s when people thought margarine was the smart substitution for butter. Even the AMA et al. Are over that delusion. Rather than get into how much fat, get into quality fat. And we're at the end of the show. Should I do a part two? Maybe I'll do a part two to the show next week. There's a good introduction to fats. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth and need some more education, call my office. If you're dealing with health concerns and you want to get put in the right track, we'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.